If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Titus chapter 2. I started something at the beginning of the month, and I thought that I was going to end it, but I'm not going to end it, going through Titus 2:11. We're just a little bit shorter on time with the baptisms, but I just want to continue this theme of grace and do a little bit more of a topical look this morning at the grace of God. But this is a good passage for us to read as it's theme is God's grace. So Titus 2 verse 11 to 14 says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, who are zealous for good works. Declare these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you." Let me just pray for us as we jump in to God's word. Our Heavenly Father, reminded again and again that you are kind enough to us to reveal yourself to us in written form. Objective truth, absolute authority, the Word of God. And every time we open up the Word of God, we remind ourselves that it is from a holy God who loves us, who is gracious to us, who wants to be in relationship with us, who wants to grow us to become more like your Son, Jesus Christ. And the Word of God is so amazing. What a gift it is. And inside the Word of God, we are pointed to Christ, who came and died for us on the cross. And by faith in Him, we can have eternal life. And all of that is because of grace, the unmerited favor of God. And so as we talk about the grace of God this morning, may our hearts and minds be opened to transformation. Not just satisfied with knowledge, but make us like Christ today. Draw us close to you today through your word and through the transforming power of grace. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. This last year, maybe a little bit longer, I realized this, that I needed to start wearing glasses. And some of you are like, "Yeah, I've been there for a while wearing glasses." Well, this is all new to me. In fact, I have a pair right here in this case. I got off of Amazon for like $7.99. Got like 15 of them, actually, for about that price. They're just readers. And when I put them on, I just want you to know, it's still me. Okay, it's still me. It's not like Clark Kent. You know, I changed into Superman or anything. When I take them off, it's still me, but I didn't realize this, that when you put them on, man, I can really see the words, right? I mean, I can't see you right now, so do whatever you want. You're very blurry, but when I look right here, I'm like, wow, this takes reading to a whole new level right now. And I didn't realize this, that it was going to be so drastic, that my eyes were so bad that I needed this lens in front of my eyes to make everything so clear and everything so noticeable and everything so big right in front of my eyes. And I think about that when I think about grace. It would be great if all of us every morning woke up and we grabbed our glasses of grace and we put them on and we looked at the world through the lens of grace. In fact, I don't think we would even realize how different life would be if we viewed the world through the lens of grace. Everything would be brighter. Everything would be more wonderful. We would be able to see things that were once blurry. Now they would be clear because of the grace of God. And our hope over the last 5 weeks have been just that. Every week we're just refining those glasses, refining that lens to get the perfect fit on your face so that when you wake up every day, you're saying, "Hey, today I'm going to live in light of the grace of God. I'm going to view life in light of God's grace today. I need God's grace today. I cannot live without God's grace today. Where are my glasses? I need them to be able to read life and see life because of the grace of God. And if you've been here at all over the last 5 weeks, then you've gotten your dose of the grace of God in different ways. And this morning, I just want to remind us of that. And I know this, that you guys are learning and you guys are growing in grace. In fact, this last week I received an email from a member in our church, and I won't say their name because I like receiving these kinds of emails and I don't want to embarrass anybody. But this is what the email said. It says, "Dear brothers in Christ, Joe, Shay, and Jonah, I just wanted to tell you that God has used His Word and your preaching to restore my faith and understanding of the grace of God through Jesus Christ." He said, "I was again reminded just how important the biblical impact of grace is in our lives. Thank you for your ministry to my life. I love you all in Christ." So I understand this as we are just confronted with the grace of God every day. It's changing us. It's motivating us. It's making us become more like Jesus Christ, that we can't ever get enough of the grace of God. And the grace of God is this, the unmerited favor of God in our lives that He has given to us that we do not deserve. We can never earn God's grace, ever. You can do nothing to earn the grace of God. You say, "Well, what if I have perfect attendance at church?" Grace, great, you should do that. "Well, what if I read my Bible every day? What if I pray for an hour every day?" Great, you're still not going to earn the grace of God. All of those are responses to God's grace in your life. And the reality of the Christian life is this. Everything in life is a grace of God. I had a professor in seminary tell me this, and I remember it so clearly, his words. He said this, "Everything outside of hell is a grace of God." Yeah, you'll remember that one, won't you? It's true. Everything outside of hell is a grace of God. The air you breathe, the fact that you have life, that God has not struck you down because of your sin, because you have been someone who has entirely offended and mocked God, that is a grace of God that you live today. The job that you have, the friends, the family, the church that you have, the clothes that you wear, the success that you have, the trials in life. Yes, even the trials in life are a grace of God because they are weaning you from the world and causing you to entirely trust in Him. All of life for the believer, the Christian, is a grace of God. You would not survive a single second apart from the grace of God. And no one taught more on the grace of God and understood the grace of God radically in his own life than the Apostle Paul. In fact, Paul never recovered from the impact of God's grace in his life. The word grace appears no later than the second sentence in every one of Paul's letters. No later than the second sentence. 84 times he says the word grace in all 13 of his letters. It's as if he was saying this, "Grace is the best that has ever come upon me, and it's the best thing that I can wish upon you." And so what I want to do is in the short time that we have here is just give you, ready for this? 10 aspects of God's grace. You're like, "Yeah, we're going to be here all day." No, I promise. This is going to be rapid fire. I just want to see the verse because I want you to get a brighter lens by which you see the grace of God. Okay, so you have your Bibles. Okay, grab your neighbors if you don't have yours. You need one. Okay, grab your phone. Pull out the ESV Bible there, whatever it is. Grab it. Because I want you to see this. We're going to do this quickly. Just 10 aspects of the grace of God to help you understand how to live in light of God's grace. And they all come from the Apostle Paul, who has learned this himself and wants us to learn it as well. Okay, number one, turn to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Remember sword drills growing up? For those of you who are in good old Baptist churches. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Very familiar verse, but often we stop there. And this is what I want to see. Point number one is God's grace in our salvation. Okay, Shay has been talking about this in Ephesians 2. But I want to show it to you here in Romans 3, 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we just stop right there. Let's not stop right there. Verse 24. And are justified, underline it, by His grace as a gift. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The only way sinners are saved are by the grace of God through Jesus Christ. That is it. And everyone there has sinned, and everyone is in need then of justification. Everyone is in need of redemption, and everybody is in need of the gift of Christ, and that can only come through the grace of God. You cannot earn it. You cannot merit it. It comes by the love of Jesus Christ through grace. You are justified, declared righteous. God bangs His gavel as though He is a judge when you place your faith in Him. And He says, you are now declared righteous because of My grace, based on faith in Jesus Christ alone. Isn't that wonderful? Let me give you a second one. Turn to Ephesians 3, 7 and 8. Ephesians 3. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Here's number two. God's grace in ministry. Paul understood God's grace in ministry. Ephesians 3, verse 7. Of this gospel, I was made a minister. According to what? To the gift of God's grace. Because of the gift of God's grace, I have been able to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul knew that was the only way by which he would be a minister. Only by the grace of God. And again, he calls it a gift of God's grace. It is given to someone. Oftentimes not even asked for. And those are often the best gifts, is when you didn't even ask for it and somebody just gifts it to you. It's even sweeter and better in that moment. And he said this, that I made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me by the working of His power. He puts it all on God, all on His grace. Paul can do only ministry because of the grace of God. Let me give you another one. Number three. God's grace in choosing. Turn to Galatians. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 15. God's grace in our choosing. But when He, who had set me apart before I was born, and who called me, here it is again, by His grace. He called me by His grace. He did not call me because I was wonderful. He did not call me because I was eloquent. He did not call me because He knew how good I would be. He did not call me because of anything other than the unmerited favor of God. He understood His calling to be because of the grace of God. He goes on and says, He was well pleased to reveal His Son to me in order that I might preach Him among the Gentiles. I did not immediately consult with anyone. God's grace in His choosing. God's grace in our choosing. Number four is this. God's grace in our gifting. God's grace in our gifting. Turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Some of you guys are like, man, we usually just sit in like one like verse. Not even that. Sometimes just a phrase. No, I'm throwing a curveball at you. God's grace in our gifting. Romans chapter 3, verse 12. Right at the top of the verse here. Going into these gifts of grace. For by grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For As in one body, we have many members, and many members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service and serving, the one who teaches and teaching, the one who exhorts and exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. What is he saying? He's saying this, body of Christ, you have been given a gift. And that is a gift of grace in your life. Whatever gift God has given to you, whatever even natural abilities God has given to you, that is given to you because of the grace of God. You didn't conjure that up on your own. You didn't even figure that out on your own. That is given to you because of the grace of God. And we need to stop thinking that I am gifted because of my natural abilities. You have no natural abilities apart from the ones that God has given you. That's a grace of God, those natural abilities. It is all of grace. Let me give another one, number 5. God's grace in our identity. God's grace in our identity. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 9. Our identity is because of God's grace. It says this in verse 9. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Here it is, verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace towards me was not in vain. What is the Apostle Paul saying? He's saying this. Everything that I am, every accomplishment that I've ever had, everything that I've ever done is because of the grace of God. I am what I am because of grace. Church, do you say that about yourself? Or do you say, I am what I am because I worked so hard in this area? Paul said, I worked hard. He said, in fact, I worked harder than everybody else, but at the end of the day, I am what I am because of the grace of God. I am what I am because God's grace has come upon me. And yeah, I work hard, and he balances it there. He doesn't just sit back and do nothing and say, hey, you know, I don't have to do anything. I'll just wait around for the grace of God. No, he goes, I work harder than anybody else, but at the end of the day, I am who I am because of the grace of God. Do you say that about yourself? Do you say that about your job? Do you say that about who you are and how you identify yourself? Everything about me, even though I work so hard, is still of the grace of God. Let me give another one. 1 Corinthians 4:7. Stay right there in 1 Corinthians. Go back to 4:7. God's grace and our receiving, if you're taking notes. Our receiving. It'll make sense here when we look at it. It kind of dovetails what we just talked about. He says this, for who sees anything different in you? Here it is, underline this. What do you have that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? What is he saying? He's saying this, everything about you has been given to you by God. Well, what do you have that you did not receive from God? Think about it. Ask yourself right now, ask yourself that question. What in your life do you have that God did not give to you? Say, well, I have a job. Yeah, God gave you that job. Say, well, I have a mind. God gave you that mind. Yeah, I have abilities. God gave you those abilities. I have life. God gave you that life. I have. Yes, God gave everything that you have is given to you by God. And that is a grace of God. And it keeps us from boasting. This is the core of that message. You've received it as a gift. You cannot then boast about it. You cannot say that I gained it for myself. Boasting is a contradiction to grace. Can't even boast. If I boast, what? I boast in the cross. I boast in Jesus Christ because everything has been given to you. And let me give you another one. God's grace in our trials. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. God's grace in our trials. Romans 12:9, it says this, "But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly into my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, calamities, for when I am weak, then I am strong." This is God's grace in our trials. And he says this, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. It means this, that the undeserved favor and strength and power would be enough to sustain you through your trials. Through your struggles, through your pain. The Lord is saying this, you don't need anything other than the grace of God to get you through. It's sufficient. It's enough. And God would give the Apostle Paul an abundance of grace, humbling him, making him dependent upon him. And he would say, I am content. I'm content with weaknesses, insult, hardships, persecutions, and calamities when I am when I'm weak, then I am strong. It is because he is relying upon God's grace. Every aspect of our lives is because of the grace of God. Turn over one page and your Bible is 2 Corinthians 9:8, maybe two pages. 2 Corinthians 9:8, it tells us that God's grace in our good works. In 9:8, it says this, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all times, you may abound in every good work. Are you struggling to do good works? Call upon the grace of God. It's sufficient. And God wants to make it abound in you so that you can display good works. In 1 Timothy 1, 12-14, Paul talks about the grace of God and thankfulness. His thankfulness for his ministry was because of the grace of God. 1 Timothy 1, 12-14. I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service, before that I was a blasphemer, persecutor, insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Our thankfulness is based on what? The grace of God. And then lastly is this, our sanctification, Titus 2, verse 12, God's grace in our sanctification. Verse 11 says, the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people. Verse 12 says this, what does God's grace do? It trains us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age. So what is the grace of God doing? Then it is becoming our tutor. It becomes our instructor. The grace of God not only saves you, but the grace of God also sanctifies you, which means that it will teach you then how to say no to sin. The grace of God teaches you how to say yes to righteousness. The word they're training there, it's a word that has to do with correcting bad habits. You want to correct bad habits in your life? Rely upon the grace of God. That's how you do it. The grace of God will teach you how to say no to sin. It will teach you how to say yes to righteousness. It is because of the grace of God that everyone is sanctified. You cannot be sanctified apart from God's unmerited favor in your life. And this is what the Apostle Paul knew. The Apostle Paul understood God's grace. The Apostle Paul would each day, I don't know if he wore glasses or not, but if he got old, he probably did, about mid-40s. Probably did. But he would put on the glasses of grace, wouldn't he? He couldn't get enough of it. He couldn't wrap his mind around the fact that an almighty, holy, loving God would show him favor at all that day. And he lived in light of the grace of God. He understood at the end of the day, through every trial, and we've been watching him go through trials in the book of Acts and him being stoned and left for dead and persecuted, ran after city after city after city. He'd wake up the next day and go, okay, God, I need grace today. Just for today, would you show me grace today? Would you show me that favor today? I'm fighting sin. I am battling sin and I can't get past this sin. God, I need your grace. Would you show me that today? I want to rely on your power. I want to rely on your favor. I want to rely on your love today. I can't do it myself. And we just stop thinking that the way to get past these things is to pull up your own bootstraps and pick yourself up every day and look at the mirror and say, I'm good enough for today. You're not. I hate to break it to you, but you're not. You need the grace of God today. In and of yourself, you do not have the power to save yourself. In and of yourself, you do not have the power to overcome sin. In and of yourself, you do not have the power to sanctify yourself. And you need to wake up every day and say, okay, God, you're God. I'm not God. I need you today. And I need your grace today. For whatever it is that you're going through, there is enough grace for every trial and hardship that you're going through today. And guess what? When you wake up tomorrow, there is also enough grace tomorrow for whatever it is that you're going through. And it's dialed up specifically for you. Because you might need a grace that somebody else might not need. But they need a grace that you don't need. In Hebrews 4, it tells us to boldly approach the throne of what, church? The throne of grace. Where God just dispenses it. You know those vending machines that you see and you go up to them and you slide, now you get to slide the credit card. Better yet, you just get to tap. And you just hit the button and out comes whatever it is that you wanted out of that machine. When you go to prayer, what you're doing, you're just tapping on God's throne and He's going to dispense to you today, guess what? Grace. And you're going to go back with an endless card every day. Say, God, grace, grace, grace. And He's going to go, here you go, here you go, here you go, here you go. Every single time. He never runs out of wanting to give you favor that you don't deserve. Wanting to give you love and strength that you don't deserve. And we live in light of that every day. You say, how can I access this grace? Okay, let me give you one word, another word here. We're not going to talk about it because we got to get some people baptized. But here's the word that I want you to know. This is how you access grace. You want to know how to access grace, church? Here it is. By faith. By faith. It is the only way by which you can access grace. It is by faith. Not by works, by faith. And guess what that faith is? It is also from God. Right? Pastor Shea talk about this? Ephesians 2, faith is also from God. So we have faith that's given to us from God, so that we can have grace that also comes from God. At the end of the day, we just say, okay, God, this is all of you and all of your grace. Church, let's be a congregation that understands God's grace. And not only do we understand God's grace, but let's be those who turn around and show grace to other people. Can we do that? Can we be a church like that? Can we go, hey, you know what? I don't feel like being gracious right now, but thankfully God doesn't feel like not being gracious to me. So I'm going to be gracious. We see needs, we meet them. We see hurts, we fill them by the grace of God. Because we understand how much God has been gracious to us that we can't help but turn around and be gracious to one another. And in doing so, we'll become more like Christ. And in doing so, we will shine the brightest light that we possibly can right here in Bellevue. And people will come to our church and go, what's going on here? And we'll just say this, the grace of God's going on here. That's all it is. It's not even us. It's just God's grace. He's chosen to show us unmerited favor so that we can be a light in the midst of darkness. Let's be a church that's filled with the grace of God. Let me pray. Lord, thank you for this reminder. It's all of grace. Our whole lives are of grace. We're saved by grace. We're sanctified by grace. We're given gifts by grace. We're given ministries by grace. Our thankfulness is a result of grace. Our lives are the result of grace. The air we breathe is because of grace. And we don't deserve it. But we're so thankful, Lord, that each and every day you allow us a day to say, okay, God, my life is hard right now, and I've got trials and I've got tribulations, but today I'm just going to lean upon the unmerited favor of God. Would you show me that today? And we wake up each day and say, okay, God, you're God. I am not. I don't know what you have planned for me, but would you give me the grace that I need, the strength that I need to go to work today, to talk to my neighbor, to my friends, to have this difficult meeting, to have this hard conversation, to just live life, Lord? Would you just give us grace today for that? Think of the hymn that says, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Would that be true for us? Give us the strength that we need today. Help us to think more and more through the lens of grace each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen.